We're going to continue our press conferences for today. We're now joined by Team Penske teammates Joey Logano and Ryan Blaney. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. We'll take as many as we can within the 15 minutes that we have here. We'll start in the back here with Jordan, then we'll go to Tim.
Jordan Jenkins, Seriously Fast Motorsports. This is kind of a question for both of you. Of course, Ryan, you've kind of been up in the top 10 in the chase standings all year. Joey, you've been on a pretty good hot streak over the last few weeks. Now, what kind of your guys' confidence going into the chase in just a couple of weeks, and what do you think it's going to take to obviously become the champion, especially in this new format?
Well, I think Team Penske's done a good job all year of, you know, just kind of staying in the game. And, you know, on my group side, I feel like we've gotten better at some places where we've really needed to improve and close the gap a little bit to the Toyotas that were really strong. And I think we're in a good spot at Team Penske and kind of hitting some really good momentum right before we get going in the chase. So hopefully we can continue that.
He said it pretty well. I think recently, as far as the 22 itself, you know, we've been able to get some good finishes back rolling again over the last couple months. Doesn't seem like it matters as the type of track. It seems like we've been able to close that gap, find some consistency. You know, we're lacking speed early in the year. When you lack speed, you're caught up in crashes more often, and it just kind of snowballs. And seems like we've been able to, you know, scratch and claw to get some speed back in it. Mile and a half stuff seemed okay. Short tracks obviously is still our bread and butter, and we were able to capitalize on that the last few weeks. And hopefully we can do that again here in Loudoun.
We'll come here to Tim, and then in the back to Jordan.
Tim, one more sports day question for each of you. First off, Ryan, last year, I mean, I know you win the lobster. What did you ultimately do with that lobster? I know you said you could potentially hang it.
You can't eat them. They're too old. Yeah, I learned that in Victory Lane. I get it tomorrow. I guess they put it on a plaque. You know, they kind of have, you know, he took a visit to the taxidermist and they put him on a nice little plaque. So I get it tomorrow. So I'll find a place in my house for him.
And I think, Joey, I think you just answered what my question is, but what did you do with your lobsters when you won here in New Hampshire?
Did you eat it? Did you get sick?
I think I ate it. I don't really remember. I think I'm the first one to put it on a plaque. I think years and years ago, because I remember when we won it back in, what was it, 2009? They're like, what do you want to do with the lobster? We'll just ship it to you. And I'm like, what do you mean you're going to ship it to me? Like, alive? And they're like, yeah, alive. And I was like, no, don't do that. I don't know what I'm going to do with this huge lobster. And so I was like, well, why don't you just put it on a plaque? And they kind of thought I was crazy the first time. But who's laughing now? Everyone does it, I guess. So there you go. So I got a couple on a wall at this point. It's a good icebreaker when people come to your house and see a lobster on the wall. Right. If you have a cool story.
We'll go to Jordan in the back.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. This question's for, I guess, both of you guys. I know this week tends to be kind of week-to-week sport. You're only working ahead a week or so. That said, the chase is probably going to be decided on a mile-and-a-half racetracks. Have you guys, as Penske, dedicated any – how much resources and time are you guys dedicating to kind of figuring out the mile-and-a-half to catch up to the Toyotas, even though you're in a week-to-week grind?
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant. You know, everyone's always working towards just finding the speed in any track we go to, right? And sure, there's a lot of mile-and-a-halves in there, but there's also some of the tracks that we feel solid about it too. And those mile-and-a-halves, like I said, we've closed up the gap a fair amount from where we were. So the 12 was able to run good at those tracks somehow before, but it seems like we're able to we can see him now a little bit too and run up there too. So, you know, I think there's kind of two ways to look at it, right? One is if you zoom into your car, right, in particular, whether it's like the 22 or the 12 for Ryan, but then zoomed out a little bit and looking at Team Penske as a whole, and then zoom out maybe more as Ford as a whole, where can we be making gains? You know, those little things add up, right, over time. And you're never going to find the big one thing that changes everything, but you know, if we can work on the things together that are important, and then you know, to try to give it more potential, and then as a team try to work on your, you know, setups to get that little bit more of an edge, it's just never ending, right? I don't know if the focus is more so than it has been, but like, it's just a constant work at it.
And then the other question is NASCAR, I think around North Wilkesboro time, you know, said they're going to kind of reinforce the front splitter a little bit more, if I'm not mistaken, that was designed to kind of maybe help you guys or maybe help the Chevrolets a little bit. Is that, have you guys seen anything from that, that actually has been an assist?
I don't know if it was designed just to help others. I think it was just to bring the field to where everyone was doing the same thing, right? I mean, there's cars that were more aggressive with that rule than others, right? Well, I'm just telling you how it is, right? I mean, it's, some teams are feel more comfortable at pushing things past the edge a little bit and getting their hands slapped or worse, and other teams are a little bit more conservative, right? So, you know, that was something that obviously was a decent size needle mover for some teams, and you know, kudos to NASCAR for finding a way to enforce it. It's not an easy rule to enforce, obviously, and so they found a way to do it. So kudos to them.
We'll come here in the middle to Terrell.
Terrell Covey, the podium finish for both of you guys. I know you guys are at different tracks every week. Everything's different, but how much of a role does momentum play as you head into the chase, and how good is it to be at a couple of tracks where your team is strong as you approach the chase?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in momentum and confidence, whether, you know, it's in your group or yourself, and they're kind of two in the same. But, yeah, it is nice. You know, we've had a stretch of races here closing into the chase that our teams have really been able to step up and have had really good runs and contended for wins and win them. And this weekend, you know, we were all really strong here last year. Hopefully that can continue. And then the Speedway, I don't know what to expect at Daytona. I think everyone's kind of up in the air, but all you can do is go in with an open mind. But yeah, I think momentum is a big thing, so you want it to be high and on your side, you know, when you get to the chase, but then you still have to execute. I mean, you can have all the momentum in the world and it can break pretty easy, but it is a positive mindset to have. I think that's good.
We're gonna go all the way in the back, then to Dustin, then to Andrew.
Hey guys, Nick Antonakis from 22 News down in Springfield. Question for Ryan. Last year, obviously, you lifted Loud in the Lobster. If there's one thing you could pull from your performance from last year to try and go for the repeat this year, what would that be?
Well, I think we did everything very well last year. Cars were fast off the truck, and I'd say one of the weaker spots in our race was kind of short run restarts. We kind of struggled, but, you know, after 10 laps or so, we really came to life. We looked at those areas, Jonathan and I, okay, how do we be a little bit better there? You don't want to sacrifice later in the run because that's where we were good. But, you know, you get late race scenarios, you know, it'd be hard to kind of hold some people off, I think, just how our car took off on new tires. So, you know, you're always trying to piece things together year to year, race to race, no matter if you were great the previous year or you were terrible, you're always trying to get a little bit better. And you don't want to do the same thing because you learn a lot over that year. So I think if that's anything I could pinpoint from last year's race that to focus on, I think we focused on that a little bit.
We'll go to Dustin and then to Andrew.
Dustin Long, USA Sports. First for Joey, I don't think we heard how was the trip back from Richmond after the win and the full vehicle. Was there chaos or was it an easy family trip?
Well, nothing would have been different if we finished 30th or 1 on the way home. I know that. I kind of laugh now, you know, like, in the day, like, you win a race and you're young and you're like, yeah, let's go party, let's have a good time, you know. And now it's like, my wife's like, okay, I gotta go put the kids to bed. I'm like, all right, I'll finish taking pictures down here. And I kept a couple with me. And then you get back and everyone's tired and you go to bed. And you wake up at 6:30 the next morning, like, all right, load it up, you know. And everyone gets in the van and, no, I mean, there's 5 kids in a van. What do you think it's like, you know? Like, someone touched the other kid, you know, some spilt their water, one's hungry, one's got to go to the bathroom, we got to make a pit stop, you know, there's a lot of, we did good though, it was a one-stop trip, that's pretty good, and that's pretty good on the bladder mileage, in our opinion, so that's, we've got it figured out pretty good at this point, but as good as you can imagine, but it's loud, it's fun.
And for both of you, obviously the tremendous success at this track. So how does this track still challenge you?
Yeah, I think just year to year, you know, you never know how teams improve year to year, and everyone's working just as hard as your group to try to get better. So, but the good thing is, you know, these types of track have been pretty good to us this year. We do a great job at Team Penske on really running well at the kind of the mile under flat tracks, we just do a good job of understanding what we need here. So, yeah, but I mean, we have no idea. We could be really off today. I don't know until we get out on the racetrack, but at least we have the previous experience from last year and some notes on this tire, you know, through this year to where hopefully we can apply it all and be able to contend. But there's always challenges.
I mean, I think this track is one of the most technical, maybe the most technical oval that we go to. It rewards precision on the racetrack for the driver, and you want to have a car that's a little bit versatile, it's a little bit more accepting to the bumps, to the banking transitions, to the corner. You know, qualifying here today is a pretty challenging lap of trying to hit it all just right. You know, if you overslow the entry, you pick up the gas too soon, your timing gets screwed up, right? You overshoot it in there, you get loose. You're a little bit too low and clip the apron and you get it loose and you're up the racetrack. You jump over to third seam, then you're too high. Like, I mean, it's just, you get stuck on the seam. Like, you just got to be so precise around this racetrack to make a fast lap here. So qualifying, to me, takes a lot to hit it right on. It's hard to ever feel like, you mean I just nailed that lap just perfect. Like, there's just always a little bit of something here and there that's just a pretty technical place.
And then you can throw everything out of the book when it's going to rain tomorrow. So, whole new
it's
race.
It's not going to rain.
I hope it doesn't.
I hope it doesn't. God, I hope it doesn't.
We'll go to Andrew in the back.
That's perfect. That was going to be my question, actually.
Oh, cool.
2 years ago, like, it was dry, and then it rained, and you guys raced on a damp racetrack. Say it does rain tomorrow. What's it like relearning a racetrack in damp and wet conditions, and as that track evolves and gets drier?
Well, if that does happen tomorrow, at least we've had experience on this racetrack in the rain. I remember 2 years ago when it did rain, I think me and Reddick were on the front row, and you're like, oh, I'm going to drive in as far as you, maybe a little deeper. I just don't know. But now, you know, we've had that experience with it, just trying to see where the lines go, how it dries out. This place actually, when it did rain, it dried out fairly quick. I don't think we ever got back on slicks, though. It was wet tires to the end of that race. So, but yeah, just trying to figure out where are the spots that are drying up. But you don't want to run in the dry too much, because then you're going to just destroy the soft, wet weather tires. So, but it is nice to have some experience if it does rain tomorrow, like 2 years ago when we had zero laps in the rain here and just trying to figure it out on the fly. Well, that stuff is pretty fun and challenging. Experience is also nice when you're sitting behind the wheel. Yeah.
All right, we'll go.
Oh, I was wrecked. I got nothing. Go ahead. I was wrecked by then. I got no experience.
We'll go to Dustin, and then I just have a quick question from NASCAR.com.
Dustin Lomino, JSK, kind of looking ahead a week. Ryan, you mentioned that not knowing what to expect next week at Daytona, but what will that be like mentally for both of you with the unknowns of the package?
Yeah, make one lap and qualify it and then fire it off in the race and see what happens. I've always tried to be open-minded on things, like not to expect too much of when I don't know 100% about it. So I think that just always have tried to make myself more versatile that way, not try to get too stuck in my ways. So, but I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth on it could be a massive, wildly different change, or it could be, that's not as much of a change as I thought. I don't know what to expect, but we're going to be the first to find out. I'll tell you that. So we'll see. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I don't know what to think yet, Ryan. Thanks for asking. I think I'm curious to see how much handling comes into play. Yeah. You know, typically, even with the, you know, with the added downforce that we had before, you know, coming off of turn four is kind of the trouble point where cars would kind of slip up and those type of things. I'm assuming it's going to look more like the old Daytona years ago before they repaved it, a little bit more that direction where you may – or more like Atlanta, right? Like where handling's going to come into play to some extent. I just don't know, like, at what point in the run does that happen, right? Is it, like, are we packed up for the first 10, and then you start to see the cream rise at the top, right? You start to see the best cars start to move their way through the field. I don't know. I mean, maybe. I kind of think it's going to go that direction. I mean, it only makes sense if you're taking grip away. Sure, the car's got to handle worse. So well, like Ryan said, we'll be the first to know, yeah. but we ain't going to know before anybody else either, because yeah. one lap in qualifying is going to tell us nothing. So I don't know.
We've got one last question from Zach at NASCAR.com. Ryan, this one's for you. Considering how close the fight is for the number two seed between yourself, Gibbs, and Reddick, how closely are you monitoring points over the next 2 weeks, if at all?
I mean, a little bit. I look at the points once or twice a week, usually the night after the race to see where everyone's at. And then I kind of remind myself where everyone's at, you know, before the weekend comes. And you know, they don't consume my whole race, but I notice where those guys are running just because we are in the fight, you know, with those guys for the second spot. So, but it doesn't change our race. We won't strategize our race around the 45 or the 54. We strategize, try to win the race, and then the point stuff take care of themselves. But, yeah, you do know that, and we do know it's a, you know, from first or from second to fourth is a decent chunk of points. So, yeah, that's kind of goal number one outside of winning the race the next 2 weeks. Try to stay ahead of those two guys.
All right, guys, thanks for your time. Good luck this weekend.
All right, thank you, guys.